Welcome to Our Blue Bahamas on Guardian Radio. I am your host, Jasmine Colley, and today we're diving into the power of collaboration in environmental conservation across the Bahamas. Joining us is Vanessa Bethel from ORG, who is here to talk about an exciting initiative called Map for Good, a project that connects NGOs across the country to strengthen impact and improve how we protect our environment. Vanessa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
To start us off, we're here with our very own Heather Brockbank.
Hi, thank you for having me. I just wanted to make a note also that we are podcasting from BREEF, so the Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation. And I know we might not have mentioned it in a while, but BREEF serves to educate our wider community on how we can better conserve and educate others on how to conserve and protect our Bahamian marine environment.
Wonderful. So, Vanessa, again, welcome. And to start us off, can you tell our listeners a little bit about ORG and the work you do?
Sure. So ORG, or the Organization for Responsible Governance, it's a mouthful, so we just abbreviate it to ORG. Mm-hmm. We work to promote the principles of good governance, so things like transparency, accountability, inclusive decision making, and we do that. We build tools to help facilitate communication between the public and the government. We also do capacity building initiatives for local organizations, and the work that we do is about strengthening all of society. So again, we do grassroots education and community building work because we all play a role in good governance. And my role particularly is about building systems that help facilitate that. And Map for Good is a key initiative.
And now Map for Good is such an interesting name. So what is it? What inspired this initiative? Can you just tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So Map for Good is a national effort to build a map and directory of all of the nonprofit, including faith-based organizations in the country, which is a big task because we know that there are many, at least 1,400 registered organizations, right? And it was inspired because repeatedly organizations doing work are noticing the gap of who else is doing this work? What type of work are they doing? How can we identify where we might be duplicating efforts and how maybe we can strategically partner and collaborate to do things more effectively? And so Map for Good seeks to help address that need.
Okay, and you're saying faith-based organization. So yeah. We're talking about churches.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
So that's so amazing. So we're having, so essentially the whole Bahamas is getting more connected with, like you say, faith-based organizations and NGOs like ourselves, which BREEF is a nonprofit as well. So essentially it help organizations not work in silos?
Exactly. Often that happens, especially when we know that the sector is running with limited resources and we're often stretched thin. So it makes it harder for us to take that extra effort to kind of look around and see what others are doing. So by having a tool that helps facilitate that, it takes a little bit more of that weight off of those of us in the sector that are scrambling to do this vital work to enable us to better identify those opportunities where other organizations are functioning. Also, it helps identify where there are no organizations doing work, right? So if we are able to build a better picture of the whole ecosystem of nonprofits, then we get a better insight into actually what's happening, what types of services are being provided, what might be lacking. There's a lot of potential of what Map for Good can do. And it's very much in development at the moment. We're building those relationships with organizations so they can come in and sign up because we want to verify information. We want to ask them, what are you doing? What types of services do you provide? What's your mission? Those basic core bits of information. Mm-hmm. How can people reach you?
You know what I love about this initiative, and just bringing it back for our listeners, our Blue Bahamas. We live in a very archipelagic nation. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of islands. It's so difficult sometimes, you know, connecting so much person. So having this map for good, not only connecting the organizations, but essentially connecting different islands. And I think that's so important when it comes to collaboration, especially in the environmental space.
Yeah, I think that was going to be my next question as to how it really takes the burden off of for family island persons really going out and looking for these services, or even having to travel all the way to Nassau and kind of search out for these services, when you could have a map for good system where you can just look up the service you need and find dedicated professionals who are already doing the work, how you could possibly get involved, or even just identifying gaps within your own community.
Absolutely, and that's one thing at ORG, we're really committed to not being Nassau-centric, mm-hmm. you know, really being inclusive with our family islands. Actually, I'll be doing a number of trips for Map for Good to go out and meet organizations across the Bahamas to make sure that they're aware of what we're trying to do and really bring them in to be a part of it. And it's actually also, that's a key element around, you know, what is all centered in Nassau, what's lacking in the family islands, and what are the ways that maybe those organizations, because I know that there's a lot of organizations here in the capital that want to do more on the out islands, but sometimes you need that point of contact,
right?
And oftentimes, and that's, you know, some folks have asked, you know, why faith-based organizations? Technically, under the MPO Act, they are considered nonprofits, but also faith-based organizations are usually the center of many communities. They're that key point of contact. And so it's a way to facilitate organizations to be able to bring their programming to communities where there may not be the infrastructure or the ability to have a full-fledged nonprofit there already, but it's a way to bring the services and the support to those communities, especially in times of disaster. Right, you know, and also in just the preparedness of for disaster. But we know there's a lot of things that are happening on the day-to-day, especially the education, bringing that education, bringing those opportunities to everyone throughout the nation.
Listen, I know exactly what you're talking about, because at Brief, we have a sea camp, which we do in two water islands outside of the capital, and it's the local heroes, such as Miss Althea, who works at the library at Haines, having her just help with the community based and knowing and disseminating the information.
Absolutely.
And knowing the persons, although we have this goal, but having that really strong point of contact that we can lean on is so important.
Yep. At the end, like Jasmine said, we've seen the importance of partnerships. We do our Eleuther summer camp at the Haines Library that we do in the summertime. Coming up this summer, we have spots available. Just a little plug. but we also, even in New Providence, I'm not sure if they're a nonprofit, but we partner with Adastra for our Nassau summer camp. And even that partnership there benefits not only us, but our students as well. So we're able to project that the benefits of that partnership onto our wider community, which is what I think a lot of people should be able to really have at the forefront or at their fingertips, be able to really have a directory like Map for Good, which is why I'm so excited for this initiative, that they can look and see who matches with their core values and goals.
Absolutely.
And who they can reach out to. And like I said, all of these effects often even spill out into our wider community and mm-hmm. make an even larger effect.
Exactly. And that's why it's free and public,
right?
It's for us as a sector to be able to find each other, but also private entities who are also doing services, also donors, mm-hmm. you know. We've actually had multiple cases where people have already reached out to us because they've seen or heard about Map for Good by Googling, and they're like, hey, we're associated with a resort that's in the country. We do we have a corporate social responsibility team, and this team in particular, they were really more about actually doing long-term multi-year funding to really do sustainable practices, but they were trying to identify organizations that fit within their target and the areas that they wanted to work on, right? But they were having trouble doing that, right? Mm. So creating the spaces for, and I've also had another funder from Europe and things like that. So
I love that you highlighted that.
Exactly. So it's a way for folks to come in and be able to easily see. And also, there's a lot of like national consultations that happen. both within and with regional partners and international entities and multilaterals, that often that word doesn't get spread. And so there's the few that are in the room. And so already, even though we don't have the map in the directory yet, we're still very much in the process of collecting information, meeting with organizations, verifying it, the information, so that we can then do the proper data analysis to build the map and directory. We've already started those with the organizations that we have verified their information, sharing information as we have it. We've actually been able to pull together reports. For example, like the OAS did a consultation latter part of last year, regional consultation leading up to a regional meeting, right? A lot of people wouldn't have been in that room and couldn't be in that room because it was NASA, no virtual option, and they were not out islands. But we were able, based on the core themes of the event, pull together a quick survey, share that with the network, and we were able to compile diverse information from people who are on the front lines of the work that are related to those themes and bring that to the conversation.
That is so beautiful. What I'm hearing is it's inclusive. It has this point where a lot of persons can get donor and also financial mechanisms within their organization. And I think that's so, so important. So I just want you to like walk us through Map for Good. Like, how does it work? Is it online? How would someone see or use it? Tell us about that.
Sure. So like I said, we're in the midst of still compiling the data. So there's no map or directory yet, okay. Which that's to say for organizations who are signing up, like I said, there's stuff being shared and resources and opportunities for capacity building trainings. Like, for example, that's something that org does for free for organizations. And we share those resources. We invite folks. And there's other organizations doing things as well. So it connects them to that. But right now, we're in the process of building. We do want to launch a sort of example version in the next month or so, just to kind of give you a baseline idea of what the sort of starting framework will be. And I say starting framework because we're going to start with having, a map and directory with filter options where you can search on type of work, type of programming and services. But we actually want to build upon that and get to the point where, you know, organizations, as they receive certain, go through certain trainings and they get certified, right? Or they're open to collaboration. They can have little badges or little things in their profile, because that also help donors. Because another thing that happens is, you know, donors are often looking for organizations that have, you know, a strategic plan, a monitoring and evaluation framework. And a lot of the organizations that we're, you know, this is one of the things that we're learning, don't have that yet, because they're often, you know, just a couple volunteers doing the work, right? But that cuts them off to accessing certain resources, right? So we're building resources where you can start very basic. You can have a 1 year, strategic plan of saying, these are the things that we're looking to build upon and achieve, and these are how we're going to measure it, right? Start simple, and then you can build from there. So it's also about connection, but it's also about strengthening the sector, right?
Right.
Because we're doing so much work. So right now, the way people can get involved is connect with us. I'm happy to share my email, which is Vanessa@orgbahamas. But also, if you just Google Map for Good Bahamas or go to our website, orgbahamas.com, it'll come up and it gives you extra information about the project, but also a ways for you to reach us to express your interest. You can call, email, fill out a form, and then we'll circle back to you schedule the fairly brief survey to collect that and verify that information. Also, I want to say, when you do the survey, you're entered into a raffle.
Oh.
So we are giving away like canoe credit, $50 canoe credits, which goes a long way. We're also building up some more larger prizes. Like, for example, we have a stay at a hotel in Eleuthera. We are working on getting some bigger prizes. So, and everybody gets entered. And then if you refer other organizations, okay, and they sign up, you get re-entered.
Oh, okay. Wonderful, wonderful. So if I'm, just to break it down, so if I'm signing up on behalf of Brief, can am I signing up as a person or am I signing as a brief representative?
As brief representative. Okay. Yeah. Or if you're referring, there's a, like, in the, you note that you're referring, and then we will then reach out to the organization. Because, of course, we don't know all organizations. Mm-hmm. I do Map for Good on the Road, which is literally me driving around looking at churches and looking at, you know, and stopping, trying to stop by. Same thing with the trips. But it takes all of us to kind of identify who's out there, especially because, like I said, we want to be inclusive. We want not just the bigger, more well-known names. We want all of those amazing groups that are doing work.
So how does this platform help with communication across the different NGOs by being a part of Map for Good?
Sure. So one of the obvious ways, right, is then you use it as a tool to be able to search and filter the types of for the types of services or where organizations are. So you can partner or look for organizations doing very similar threads of work as you are, and then you'll be able to reach out to them and make that contact and then start building that relationship. Or you can identify, hey, we're looking to do work in an area where we don't really know anybody. Who do we have anybody on the map that's there that maybe then can help and be that community lead contact person, right? The other things we are doing is we're building out a NPO resource hub that will also, one, it'll have a lot of free assets, like you know the trainings that we do, we record them and share the information. For example, like we do trainings on capacity building. We also do like training on how do you partner and collaborate. What are some of the key questions that you need to ask before entering a partnership to ensure that this is meaningful, right? So and a wide range of other things, project management, etc. And what we're looking to do is also through that then build a network of communication where people are able to then share their resources. We as org are taking this lead, but it's really meant for us to use as a sector.
Right. And I've heard you said capacity building a few times. So you would have been in contact with a lot of NPOs. So where do you see most capacity building needs or in the Bahamas in this space?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the number one for everyone is fundraising, right? Like, you know, we're doing a lot with little, but I think what we're also seeing is there are a lot of organizations that are functioning at a very foundational level. So some of that foundational governance capacity building is needed. Like, how do you write a strategic plan starting from basic and you build up? How do you, what is monitoring and evaluation? How do you approach that? How do you write grants, right? And people are at different places in terms of where their knowledge is. And so there's multiple resources to meet people where they're at, right? And so it's meant to serve and everybody depending on where they're at. Because again, a lot of folks are functioning very bit like, you know, doing drives and then trying to do a community service versus other folks are writing their grants for to international multilaterals and stuff. So there's people at various levels, but some of the needs are exactly the same. You just have to kind of tailor it depending on where people are at.
Right. So is there an example of where a successful collaboration has come from this? I know you said that you're still in developmental stage, but I know that there's still a network being weaved at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even though, you know, we haven't published a map or directory yet, we are already seeing the increased interest in like, oh yeah, you know, there are these other groups that I would love to partner with. Oh, I'm actually starting to think about the ways in which I can use support and how other organizations may be able to bring that together. I have been able to, for example, have a training at another organization where I was able to bring a skill set that I had, and I was happy to bring it to them for free.
Wonderful.
Right? And not everybody is going to always have the time to go and do a training. It doesn't have to look that way all the time. But there's information sharing that's already happening. There's an understanding of how vast the sector is. There's at least those thoughts are turning. And there's already starting conversations where we're, you know, through Map for Good, we've been able to invite people to different events. And then in that room, you're already seeing organizations meet each other and starting to have preliminary conversations around, oh, I didn't know you were doing that. Let's talk. Let's exchange information.
I also want to note that recently I've had the privilege of having our Bahamas Environmental Steward Scholars intern with the Organization for Responsible Governance. And what I can say with having them come back to the office is that them coming back, they educated us even more on some of the initiatives that org is doing currently. And then also they came back inspired and kind of with an increased skills training as to how to properly inform their community, engage community stakeholders. So like these are key things that thinking from a youth perspective that young people really need to be included within these spheres and sectors and otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to get that training. So when you were speaking for Map for Good, I was thinking, so if I'm a young person and I want to start my own nonprofit, I can reach out to org, have them do some training for my volunteer staff.
And get free training.
And then
I love that.
To a network of wider nonprofits. So that's just a plug for our young persons to reach out. Reach out to the Organization for Responsible Governance. See how you can get started.
Absolutely. And to your point, like when young folks really attach sometimes to a specific theme or they know they want to make a difference and they're thinking about, how can I do that? One of like, does it make sense for me to start my own organization? Or is there an organization that I can start interning at or volunteering with and start getting insight to something before I leap to starting my own organization? Also, we actually have a toolkit on this exact thing of like, how do I go about making a difference where I care about something? You know, we call it an advocacy toolkit because it can look like different things. And there's some questions you may want to ask yourself to help guide your decision, because we also don't want everybody to jump and just start a nonprofit, because again, that gets into the duplication of effort sometimes.
Right.
So sometimes it makes sense of where can I then work with folks that are already on the ground, gain insight. And then doing that insight may identify a gap. And then you can say, ah, I can start an organization to fill that gap,
right?
So it's often thinking about it strategically, right? What makes the most sense? And because ultimately, at the end of the day, it's about lifting everyone up, you know, the youth, individuals, organizations. You know, it's about, you know, making that difference and strengthening and increasing impact, essentially.
So where would persons get access to this advocacy toolkit?
Sure. Right now it's on our website. But again, when we launch Map for Good, all of those resources will be there. But if you go to our website and there's a tab that says Get Involved and you do a drop down, it'll be in there in the Active Citizens tab. And we're constantly producing resources and information. So also stay tuned to our socials as well.
And your socials would be the Organization for Responsible Governance on...
Or just Org Bahamas, because
okay,
it's long. But I'm sure if you Google, you know, the full name, then all of those things will pop
okay.
up. But yeah, it's usually just Org Bahamas. Make it simple.
So why do you think it's important for students and young persons to understand the collaboration in conservation work?
Absolutely. I think we've... kind of, at least from my experience, you know, growing up and especially in going to school and stuff, there's a lot of specialization. There's a lot of focus on these very specific things. But everything is interconnected, you know, and often these problems or the things that we're facing, like conservation, are complex problems, right? You know, yes, it's related to the environment, but there's also people. Right? Where are those intersections, right? How do we think about doing this work and bringing it forward in the most meaningful, effective, and sustainable way? You think about it in a more complex way, right? So if you're then, even if you're involved in, say, BRIEF, but then you're talking to a local community organization that's working, you know, to build economic opportunities and you're working together, the likelihood is their programming is going to come out more sustainable and comprehensive, because you're looking at it holistically, and you and doing that also gets more buy-in,
right?
Because you're meeting people's concerns, you're meeting, you know, the needs, you're educating folks. You know, there's a lot of different opportunities. But when we work in these very narrow silos, yes, all of our missions are important, right? But there's ways in which they're all interconnected. So how do we start then breaking down those walls, making those connections, and then using those connections to really tackle those issues in a meaningful way? And I think that's really important for folks. And I know, I think for young folks, it's often easy, especially, like I said, going through the schooling, to get pulled into these narrow focuses, you know? So I always think, like, even through studies, you can have a narrow focus, but explore other things, you know, take maybe a slightly interdisciplinary approach just to get insight from, hey, you're studying marine biology, maybe take a sociology class or read a sociology book or something, you know, then you can start, you know, interacting with different ideas. And I think that gives you a more meaningful picture of how to do the work.
And what I like about what you said is, at Brief, we have a lot of persons starting out as students, as volunteers, and possibly even being a camp counselor. But then when they do graduate or when they become a BAS scholar, they're exploring these other avenues, like, hey, I still want to be environmentally focused, but I love law, so let me do environmental law. And then it's like, you know, it's just so much different things that comes out of just exploring these ideas.
Absolutely. And that also just think about it, like using the example of the scholars, the interns that we had, right? They're interested in environment, but then they might have this exposure to policy, and they're seeing these two things and how those two things can work together, right? So exposure is key, right? You know? And so creating that idea of like, oh, well, I can then actually, what are the roles that exist out there in the world that I can explore? And that way, you know, people, especially our youth, can pursue these different roles. And when we have a complementary sort of set of individuals doing vital work, filling the gaps, not everybody sort of in the same sort of studying the same thing, doing the same thing, but you're having people plugging those gaps, doing that holistic work. Because when you really think about, I studied sociology, so I studied, like, you know, social movements and change and how do you change society and like think and how those things happen. It's about the holistic movements, right? Mm. Like push and pull in different sectors, but ultimately when you look at things and how things move forward, a lot of it is related to the various people in the different spaces doing things, but also doing things and with view of things that might be a little outside.
So how can NGOs, schools, or individuals get involved to support MAP for Good?
Sure. So right now, as I said, because we're in development, we're constantly looking for organizations, right? So if you know of an organization, or community group, even if you're not sure if it's a registered nonprofit or not, reach out to us, let us know, we can reach out, or let them know, hey, there's this great thing that's happening, you should check it out. You might not be able to access these resources, be part of this really great network. Spread the word, that's a real key thing, because like I said, right now we were grateful enough to get a year extension to make sure that we can do more outreach to bring more organizations in. And we know when the first publication of the MAP and Director comes out, not everybody's going to be on there yet, but hopefully then we keep building from there. But we want as many groups and people involved from the get-go. So help spread the word. And then I would also say we're always looking for volunteers. And then I think when the MAP and Directory comes out, I think it's going to be key for organizations to use it. Like for example, I think intern, if you're looking for an internship, who's out there? What are they doing?
Right.
You know, where can I volunteer? Where can I donate?
So before we end our podcast, is just one more thing. What would you think the next that all NGOs should be thinking about for the next step to strengthen their organization? Just one thing you think they should be focusing on right now.
Oh, one thing, that's hard. But I honestly would say building that space to creating that space where, yes, you're head down, focused on the mission, but how do I work with others? Because I do think we're stronger together. And the support that we can provide, and the support can look like a lot of different things. It can look like a smaller organization working with a larger organization who can help, you know, fiscally sponsor them so they can access funding. We've done that with a smaller organization, right? But the funder felt more comfortable sending us the funds and monitoring it, you know, things like that, right? You know, there's all sorts of opportunities or knowledge sharing, you know, somebody taking their insight and how, what worked, what didn't, to each other. So I think that there's a number of ways, and I think it brings a lot of opportunity, and I want organizations to, or my hope is, Map for Good, we can build the tool, but it also requires usage, right? And in talking to a lot of organizations, we want the thing that it can do, but we also have to sometimes do the work to get there.
Right. So thank you so much, Vanessa, for having us. And this tool, Map for Good, I see it being a huge tool for collaboration across the Bahamas. And thank you so much, our listeners. Stay tuned for our next episode of Our Blue Bahamas. Please stay blue and stay awesome. Thank you. Bye-bye.